to another episode of Hack the Voice Radio, your independent free speech media source. To Bukkake Radio. This is an episode with a magical number because it's episode 69 on the 29th of November 2005. You are joined here. You are listening to, should I say, Hacker Voice Radio. You're joined here with Planet Lave and Ionix. I was just about to say something else there. How be it, gentlemen?
I'm doing fine.
Cool. So, what do we have for tonight?
Not much on my front. I have a little bit of a review of Gizmo.
Okay.
And perhaps I can scour a bit of news.
Okay.
All right. If you have anything in plan?
Who? Me or Planet?
Yeah, either one.
Well,
news in plural.
I've got a few things. Well, I've got a few news things that I've collected. As far as that goes, that's about it. I've got a few other things to talk about, which probably be about, you know, Hacker Media and the upcoming interview with Droops. So yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so let's start things off. Don't know if you plan to. Do you want to start off with anything? If you have anything in mind, or
let's see what we have here. Got a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to start off?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thanks to slashdot.org for the following story. Which is, Business Week has an article describing how Sony BMG had warned, Business Week has an article describing how Sony BMG had been warned by F-Secure, the antivirus star people, on October the 4th about the dangers of their rootkit protection. But they didn't do a goddamn thing until October the 31st, when it was made public by computer systems expert Mark Rusinovich on his rootkit blog at systemterminals.com. Now, the article says, Sony BMG officials insist they acted as quickly as they could, and they expected to be able to go public and offer a software patch at the same time. However, Rusinovich posted his blog item first, forcing Sony BMG to scramble to contain the crisis. Oh.
Boo-hoo.
Oh.
Poor Sony.
Did
he only had a month.
That's just their little press thingy right there.
I know.
You know, I think it's just bollocks. They tried to keep this thing as quiet as possible. And,
yeah, they were warned at the start of October by a respected antivirus company.
Mm.
And they sat on their arse and did fuck all.
Yeah.
And then when it went public, they got ass fucked. Much deservedly.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep on saying it. The Sony story keeps on getting better and better.
Yeah.
If I knew back then what I knew now, I'd have recorded a jingle for it. Sony Rootkit News!
Yeah, exactly.
We've had so many times.
I know, it's like we've had so many, we should have our own jingle for it. And now in Sony Rootkit News!
Uh-huh.
Ba-dum, ba-dum.
That's my first one. I've got a couple of others, but I don't want to hog the mic.
Okay.
So.
In cybercrime news, no country is immune from cybercrime, which includes corporate espionage, child pornography, stock manipulation, extortion, and piracy, says Valerian McNeve, who advises the US Treasury on cybercrime. Now, this is probably one quite paid motherfucker. Last year was the first year that proceeds from... Wait, last year was the first year that proceeds from cybercrime were greater than proceeds from the sale of illegal drugs. That was, I believe, over $105 billion, McNeve said, told Reuters. Now, what I'm trying to, what I'm thinking here is straight away is how do they like monitor how much drug dealers are making from selling drugs, and secondly, how do they know that cybercrime
pay taxes?
Oh yeah, of course. They you know, they write their like revenue reports and profit margins, and they have to send that off to get it checked by the Inland Revenue.
Board of Directors, yeah, and the bi-monthly stock.
I know. I mean, you know, it's actually quite profitable at the moment because there's quite a few drug dealers around my area that are floating on the markets now. There's quite a lot of investment going across and stuff, and profits are looking really high. No.
Yeah, yeah.
drug.
Oh, well, didn't you go to the cybercrime drug dealing conference?
Yeah.
In Helsinki?
I think they're called NASDAQ or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
The
other thing is, come on, drug dealers. Get off your asses.
Yeah.
Take up the
pace. Exactly. I mean, wait a second.
You're getting beat by a bunch of computer nerds.
Yeah, I mean, here we go. Okay, let's... Right, first of all, how... That comment is just, like, so flawed. How do they track these profits? Do they... I mean, like, yes, they've earned $100 billion in the past year, yes. How do you know that? Did you...
They send out questionnaires.
Yeah.
Are you a drug dealer?
Yes, no.
If so, how much money do you make?
Please respond to this address.
Yeah.
Wait,
self-stamped
address envelope. Now, okay, let's just
verification. Please include drugs.
Yeah, I mean, let's just ignore that comment here. Okay, cybercrime is moving at such high speeds that law enforcement cannot catch up. For example, a website used by fraudsters for phishing, the practical of tricking computer users into revealing their bank details and other personal data, only stayed on the internet for a maximum 48 hours, she said. Asked for the evidence, links in between. But this is how they work. These websites aren't like a long-term investment. Like, well, we're going to go into business here. We're going to do some phishing, you know. We're going
to
set these...
Welcome to www.giveusyourdocs.com.
Exactly. And, you know, we're looking at a you know, turnover of maybe, you know, a good few million in the next 3 years. No. They set up a server for like a few hours, maybe less than that, maybe a day, maybe a bit more than that. You know, this thing is not like fucking, I'll register my URL just slightly to look like ebay.com. And no, this is IP-led, you know? They're doing fake links and shit like that, fake referrers to get people to the website to make it look like whatever, you know, they're trying to spoof. Asked if there was any evidence between links of the funding of terrorism and cybercrime. Oh, right, so now they're trying to link all this stuff to terrorism. McNeve said that there is evidence of links between them, but most important, our refusal or failure to create such secure systems. We can do it, but it's not an issue of cost. So basically what they're trying to say is now, they obviously know how much they're making. And now they obviously know that, you know, oh, there's evidence now that these crimes are funding terrorism. Yes, yes, they're funding. Well, how about you, like, send me that evidence? How about you post how much... How the fuck do you know that they're earning £105 billion in the last year? How the fuck do you know that they're linked to terrorism? There is absolutely no way you can substantially prove this at all. If you do, then that should be available to everybody to be able to read.
It's also not a matter of the systems being secured. It's about... people being informed enough not
precisely,
to get on the
precisely. It's nothing. Well, the system at the moment is, I mean, pretty secure. You know, I can trust, you know, internet banking because I know that it's secured with a, you know, 128 blah 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 SSL, that bollocks. Okay, now.
And if something happens, it's insured.
Sure, you know, I mean, even as a complete novice, somebody that does not have a clue what the fuck SSL is. 128, 64, you know, bits means absolutely nothing to them. As long as they have a knowledge that that little thing in the bottom right-hand side corner, or that fact that Firefox goes yellow when you're on a secured site, might give somebody a little bit more reassurance. Now, McNeve is a former e-finance and e-security specialist for the World Bank. Now, questions arise when he says he's a former. Why did he get fired? He was speaking to Rydell on the sidelines of a conference in information security and banking sector. Developing countries which lack virtual finance systems available elsewhere are easier prey for cybercrime predators, who are there often idle youths looking for quick gain. How about you prove that they're idle youths? No, they're not. They're very fucking rich companies, in fact, trying to get a quick buck. You know, you can set up a company like this and get quite a lot of investment in a matter of months. Because what happens is, let's say you are a spammer or you are a fisher. Companies pay you to go out there and spam certain things, to go out there and fish, and then they will buy your database off you. That's how it works. When you identify these thieves or corruption and manipulation of information, they're in developing countries, it becomes almost more important because their systems start getting compromised from the get-go. He said another area begins to expand is human trafficking and pornography. How the fuck does human trafficking and pornography link into this? Both so become some more available once the communication is available. So now they're blaming the internet on human trafficking and pornography. How long has email been around, and how long has human trafficking been around? Human trafficking, let's say, since slavery, okay? Email, let's say, in the last few decades. I think you really need to learn how to write an article, motherfucker! Thank you.
Good night!
Good night.
If I can just grab the mic here for a second. And steer it in a slightly different direction.
Okay.
Now, what you were saying there is about selling people's details.
Yeah.
Things like that. Gathering the database and then selling the information.
Uh-huh.
Well, here's a story from notoid.net, a site which is very close to my heart.
Yes.
And it tells us today, the Scotsman reveals that the DVLA have been selling drivers' personal details to firms, some of which are run by convicted criminals.
Yes.
At a cost of only £3,000 a year, firms including a clamping company, found guilty of extorting thousands of pounds from individuals, have been able to directly access the DVLA's database, finding home addresses for people using only their car's number plate. What? So the DVLA have opened up their database to fucking anyone, by the sounds of it. If you've got £3,000, fine. No background check. Criminal? No problem. Come on in. Check out our database. Check out somebody's fucking license plate and have their full details. It's not a problem. Now, It also says, the information commissioner is set to investigate claims that the DVLA have breached data protection laws, which they have, just on the past two or three lines of this story. They have certainly betrayed the trust of millions of drivers. Of course, those with nothing to hide have nothing to fear. However, in the case of criminals accessing your data and potentially discovering that your car and you are hundreds of miles away from your probably empty home, we all have nothing to fear. The National Identity Register will only open up more security holes such as this in everybody's lives. We have no guarantee that our data will not be sold on at bargain prices to whoever comes asking. Indeed, it seems more likely to maintain an affordable scheme, our data will have to become such a commodity. That is the exact words that they put up at no2id.net, and it says it very, very well. What the flipping hell is going on? If the government cannot maintain an existing system such as the DVLA and keep criminals out, now this is criminals who just turn up with a load of money and say, yes, we're a company. Hello, can we have access to your database? Oh yeah, as long as the check doesn't bounce, that's fine. And they want to put in this National Identity Register?
It's a fucking joke,
fucking
man.
Hell.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah, that's crap.
Yeah, you know, this is a very costly system for them. They need to make some sort of revenue to be able to keep this thing going. Because you don't want to see in the news, you know, DVLA cuts employees and all that crap. So they have to keep above float level. The only way they can do that is to sell the most profitable part of their company, which is their database. You know, the way they do that is by getting anyone to buy it, and that's precisely what they were doing there.
Why the hell are they selling this data?
Because it's really kind of nice for them too, because they can make a lot of money out of it.
Fuck them.
Yeah, it's like,
do
well,
we not pay road tax?
Yes,
that's
we
what I was thinking. Is this like, you know, don't they get money from taxes?
They get a lot of money.
Money
from,
to, like, register your vehicles?
It's entirely funded by the taxes we're already paying.
I mean, let's just say, over the last few years, the price of a driving license to apply for one has gone up double-fold.
Year on year.
Year on year, taxes have gone up. Road tax, fines, yep. Just the fines for the most simple offense. Has gone up. The amount of speed cameras has maybe quadrupled. The amount of spending in development of roads has fallen. The amount of spending in actually designing a better road system for London is non-existent. There is no new parking. There is no new development for parking. And how the hell is the government allowed to get away with this shit? Well, they are, because nobody does anything.
Because they're the government.
Yeah.
If you ask questions, you have something to hide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane. How on earth, when taxes keep going up, they keep putting in more speed cameras, the fines go up, they're catching more people with the more speed cameras, they're obviously making more and more money year on year.
Yeah.
How can they need more? And why on earth are they selling people's fucking personal details? That has got to be a bloody a failure in the data protection laws.
Yeah, it's definitely breaking the data protection laws, because you are not aware of that happening, and also when you
Absolutely.
Do give away your information, they have to, under law, not give it to anyone else, like, you know, anyone who might want to play around with that database. Now, they're definitely doing that, and they don't really give a fuck. What is there to be done about it? Well, the only thing you can do is basically sue them.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fuck them.
Just writing my email now.
That is just so, so wrong. I know I'm probably not the best person to talk about this subject because I have had recent problems with the DVLA because I didn't have a tax disc. So my opinion may be a little bit one-sided. However, even if it wasn't, I can't see how this is right. Basically, I can't see how it's moral.
It's morally wrong, but when you think about companies, they have no, fairness, morals. The only thing they're interested in is capital growth.
But this isn't a company. This is run by the government.
Ah, my friend. The government is a company.
Yeah, there is that angle, which is very true.
Yeah. Because, basically, what happens is, they're spending a lot of money. They're in debt quite a lot now. They need to be able to make fast money, and you know the only way they can do that is through these kind of weird ways. The British government has a really sick sense of humour when it comes down to spending on projects and stuff. For example, the Millennium Dome, the biggest fuck up ever. Not really the biggest. It was probably one of the biggest fuck ups ever that was put to shame. It's just crazy. I think we're still paying off that debt, and the amount of tax that an average person has to endure every month is far outweighs is insane.
What
far
do they do
outweighs.
With all the money?
Basically what they do is they get
line
a really
their
big,
filthy pockets.
They get a really big bucket, and they fill it, and then they pour all this money into like a huge swimming pool, one of the Olympic sized swimming pools.
And then they
strip naked, and they jump in there and wrestle. Have wild sex orgies, and you know they'd be like, "Oh, that's Belial's money. That's Planet Lave's money. Look, I'm wiping my ass." That's basically what they do.
Up there.
Yeah, so did I.
Still there, mate?
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay, let's see what we've got.
An exciting one for
you. Go ahead.
Lockheed Martin selects concurrent Red Hawk Linux for the THAAD missile defense program.
That's right.
It's a real-time Linux system supporting mission-critical missile defense testing.
Wow. You're just breaking up there slightly.
Oh, I was just saying that it's sweet. Take that, Bill Gates. Not going to have to worry about the whole blue screen of death when we need to fire a missile.
Yeah, I mean, the way I see about it is, as long as it's being used for defense, rather than using the Linux kernel to kill people, I'm much more inclined to agree with that. Just having some problems at the moment with my internet connection. It just went down for a minute, which sucks balls. But I think we might be okay now. Hopefully.
Okay.
yeah.
So, where were we?
Where were we? Why is Trent Micro Security Systems a bit... Okay, I think Ionix was saying something or another about...
Something. It was breaking up a lot, so I couldn't really tell what he was talking about.
No, neither could I.
Lockheed?
Yeah, Lockheed Martin are using the Linux kernel to do something cool.
So...
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, basically I dropped connection for a good few minutes there. I dropped connection for a good few minutes there. Sorry about that to everyone who's listening and all that kind of stuff. But I think we're back in action.
Okay.
Cool. So let's carry on from where you left off with Tux not killing people. Um... I don't know, let's just continue, and if it drops again, then I guess we're going to have to do something about it. Because, you know, if it keeps on dropping, then there's not much I can do, because it's looking like now it's going to be a line problem or something like that. There's too much actual DB on my line. But yeah, let's just carry on with the news, I guess. In very cool, I really need one of those, and if I ever lost a hand news, a highly dexterous bio-inspired artificial hand and sensory system that could provide patients with active feeling has been developed by a European project called CyberHand. The final prototype includes sensors for tension, force, joint angle and stroke, and contact. My initial thought is, what am I going to touch with it, and will I get a slap back if I do?
The thing is, with this story, and it's one you sent me, it's the words that they use to describe how good the hand is. It's really good at the end stroke and the contact and the sensitivity of the fingertips or some bollocks like that. It sounds like an improved wanking hand, to be honest.
Is that what I'm trying to think is this thing like, does this thing have like auto control thing, autopilot, so that it would basically, you know, do what I need it to do?
So you can lay back and read the paper.
Exactly.
With the other hand.
Yeah, go on IRC, you know, sort of thing. Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah. And what else do we have? Parents can control new generation video games. The new generation video game consoles to be released in this year and in 2006 will have parental control mechanisms. Parental control allow parents to restrict access to games they consider to be violent or inappropriate for their children. Sony Corporation has become the latest of video game consoles makers to announce parental control on its PlayStation 3, according to the Enterprise. According to the Entertainment Software Association, the SEA, PlayStation 3 will be released in 2006. Microsoft Corporation have already placed parental control in its new Xbox 360, which debuted last week. Very badly, I might add, parents can restrict access to video games and DVDs that carry certain ratings such as T for teenage, M for mature. Parents can also control access to live online gaming, limiting who their children can interact with. You don't want them to talking to those evil hackers. Earlier this month, Nintendo Incorporated announced similar plans for its next generation machine, Revolution, due out in 2006 as well. The ESA pointed out that there are already controls in some software or games. The industry has been under scrutiny because of graphic violence and sexual contact in some video games. It also hoping to head off legalization that would limit how video games could also be sold. Now, what I'm thinking here is, why isn't the rating of the game from the shop just good enough? Why do they have to incorporate this kind of thing right into the firmware of the console? Do you see what I mean? You know, like...
Yes, and I can answer that.
Yeah.
Basically, there's nothing to stop an 8-year-old kid from going out and getting a second-hand copy of, let's say, Grand Theft Auto, whatever. And, you know, getting it off the market, getting it out of some second-hand kind of thing like eBay, getting it from a kid in the playground, something like that, you know. But when he puts it on his console at home that mummy and daddy have specially configured not to play games over the ratings of a 10-year-old's rating or whatever these restrictions are, then you can't play it.
Okay, I see they've circumvented that route, but... It's fair enough, but back in the day, man, you know, who gave a fuck? The only problem was, is you're spending too much time on that bloody thing. Well, I'll just turn it off then, you know. Now it's all about the fucking, you know, content of the games. Now, I think, okay, it's a good thing in a way, but I think it's still the fact that people are moving away from rights and responsibilities. As a parent's responsibility, it should monitor what the child intakes into their brain. So, you have to basically... Why don't they monitor what the children are playing? And if they see for that child that that game is, in fact, inappropriate, then they should confiscate that game and not allow the child to play that game. What I'm trying to say here is, big companies like Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo won't necessarily go out of their way to build these expensive systems into their machines and set up these fancy new ratings for games on top of what is already a standard worldwide, just for the sheer, ooh, let's just do something good for a change. I think that they're seeking another way of profit or whatever.
They'll do it because then it will put down so many parents' fears that if they buy the Xbox, let's say 360, then they can configure it to be family safe. So, hey, let's buy one for mum and dad, and little Johnny can play on it too because we've configured it to be parental controlled. So they've got that whole other market of young parents who don't want to be responsible for corrupting their kids, but are too lazy to fucking look at the games they're actually playing. I also think it is a very good thing, because it should take the heat off people trying to sue game publishers and game makers. Because, again, they're too bloody lazy. To look at the rating on the game.
This is it then.
That's why I support it. That's
precisely the reason why they're doing this, is because they have now a stronghold against saying, well, you know, you can't sue us now because, well, we've got this in place. What you need to do, and that's basically it. So the only reason they're doing this is just to be able to not get sued again for this kind of stuff. And well, do you remember the last time we were talking about the kid that jumped off the building because he was playing WoW? This is it.
Johnny's kid.
This is their comeback, is this system. So now you'd be like, well, you know, this is the rating. It's mature, or it's teen, or whatever. The kid was obviously underage. He doesn't classify as a teenager. And, you know, we can't get sued. So, you know, this is the way that they're getting back with the loophole.
We've legally covered our arses.
Precisely.
It's your own fault.
Precisely. And I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Because it seems to be a growing phenomenon.
Yeah.
People will say, oh, my poor kid. Yes, he was an idiot.
Yeah.
But it's because he played Pac-Man.
Exactly.
He ran around the streets and he tried to eat people.
Yeah, and he was running away from invisible purple ghosts.
If only there'd been parental controls on the Atari 2600.
Seriously, man, how many people actually thought that they were Pac-Man and shit like that? I know it was a big cult following and everything, and many of the early games were pretty extreme, you know, when you think about it, you know, oh, these missiles, and you have to, like, shoot them and shit, but nobody, for God's sake, nobody in those days ever considered them to be violent. I mean, think about Duke Nukem, you know, that was pretty, you know, extreme, that was pretty risky. There was porn in the game, there was, like, dancing prostitutes in the actual game.
It was all boobs and shooting.
Exactly, you know, and who did anything happen then? No, they rated the game quite high, but still people were playing it. The whole attraction of the game was precisely what was in the game, the content, and the whole extraction.
And shooting.
Exactly, the only attraction to games such as GTA now, which I think GTA have really fucked themselves up. in some ways more than others, but the only attraction to now is being able to, in a very realistic environment, go around killing people and shooting police officers and doing stuff like that, which is pretty much what the game holds up to itself now. I'd be very surprised that people have actually played the missions, whereas, you know, you rent the game, play it just so you can run around, shoot people and steal cars.
Yeah, that's really all it ever was, even when it was back in 2D.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's any such thing as bad publicity. Mm. Obviously, Rockstar are having a bit of a hard time lately because of all these people saying, you know, which one was it? San Andreas?
Yeah.
Not Vice City. San Andreas, it's terrible, and because of the black coffee mod, and you can actually have sex in it.
Yeah.
That was the thing. If you actually modify your PC version, you can unlock a sex mission.
Ooh.
It wasn't the shooting of the police and the beating up of prostitutes and all these other things.
And selling of, like, drugs, you know, slicing people's throats. It wasn't all. It wasn't any of that. It was the fact
that
you could potentially, with a downloaded, maybe, you know, if you were stupid enough to download this thing and you were lucky enough it wasn't a virus, then to crack the game and be able to, you know, get this sex thingy that, you know, enabled you to watch somebody having sex, which you could fucking Google it and get the real fucking thing as close as you can get to it instead of this pixelated three-dimensional environment that is represented on your screen. They made this huge uproar. It's just fucking, oh, God.
It's bollocks, mate.
It makes you want to slap people.
That's why I'm just glad they are putting these things in. Keep the kids out of the games that they're not supposed to be playing. And then hopefully this whole arse ache will die down a bit and we can go back to enjoying games.
Yeah.
Because I have that opinion because I'm over 18. Therefore, I'm able to buy every single game out there.
I know.
I don't care.
But for the under 18 kids, I think this will just continue to fuel piracy as such, because somebody out there will find a way to crack this moderation system.
Very true.
And you'll be like, well, all you have to do is, like, I don't know, shine the thing up to the sun for 3 hours and then rub it on your ass, and it won't, you know, it won't pick up on the ratings, so you'll be able to play this, and even though you're 16, you'll still be able to do it. So, you know, it's just bollocks in my point of view. It's just their way of getting around the whole suing thing.
Yeah. At least they can say they've done something.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What else do we have? I think we mentioned early on in one of the episodes, season one, about the new holographic CDs that are coming out.
Yeah.
Well, in Uber Media News, the first holographic storage system storing up to 300 gigabytes in a single disk will go and sell towards the end of 2006. In-Phase Technologies and Hitachi are jointly developing the technology, which uses laser light interface to store data on a light-sensitive crystal material. The technique will be in development to store up to 1.6 terabytes on each disk, more than 300 times the capacity of a conventional DVD, and offer read and write speeds of up to 120 megabytes per second. Unlike other technologies that record the data bit at a time, holography allows a million bits of data to be written and read in parallel with a single flash of light. That's pretty fucking high speed, low drag right there, my friend. Liz Murphy of In-Phase Technologies told New Scientist that this enabled transfer speed significantly higher than current optical storage devices. The higher transfer speed enables the playback of broadcast quality, hard definition TV content in which 26 hours can be stored on a single disk. That's pretty fucking awesome. We believe that the capacity and data rates in holographic storage will be critical to achieving the breakthrough improvements in workflow and cost reduction that the broadcast industry is seeking. holographic storage works by splitting light from a single beam into two. The single beam to carry the data and receive beam. The holographic hologram is formed where these two beams intersect, causing a chemical reaction in the recording medium. By varying the reference beam angle, wavelength, or media position, many different holograms can be recorded at the same volume of material. Now, this is some pretty fucking awesome stuff, man. You know, if you can get high transfer speeds of playback, broadcast quality, high definition quality of, and be able to stick 26 hours of content on it. This is drool material right there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's bloody insane.
Yeah.
I would just like to say, holographic versatile disc.
Yeah.
How good does that sound? HVDs.
Exactly.
At a future.
It's not DVDs anymore, it's HVDs.
Oh, DVDs, they're so last year.
Yeah.
Nobody buys them. Just picking up on the story you said there, what it says here is that Enphase, who are developing this technology, mm-hmm. one of their partners in this, which is Maxell,
yeah.
Those are the guys who are working on the 1.6 terabyte disk.
Right.
So keep your eye on Maxell.
Definitely.
This 300 gig disk should come out towards the end of 2006.
Yeah. Invest some stocks into that, man, because I think that baby's going to float high.
Yeah, this should, if there's any justice in the world, blow next generation DVD out of the water.
Yes, definitely. I think
because that's like 46 gig, yeah. 50 gig, and all the big companies at the moment are trying to pick a side. Mm. It's like Betamax and VHS and all pissing around rather than releasing the technology. Whereas this technology is sneaking up on them,
yeah,
and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it definitely sounds very cool. It's how much this thing is going to cost is another matter. And how available it will be to the public is also another matter. I don't think this is going to be something that we'll be able to purchase quite so as much as DVDs. I think
that's going to be what either makes or breaks
DVDs. DVDs are going to be the floppy disk of that era. And once that happens, what we'll see is different kind of versions of this thing. Because at the moment, this thing looks like a DLT backup tape. It's huge. It's very bulky. And it's not going to be something that's going to be implementable. I think that what they'll do is they'll refine this technology and make it much better. And let's say make it to the size of what DVDs can store now, but high definition and in less the size. So one of the compact CDs, the one of the really small ones, let's say you could store a gig on that and in that size, in high definition, I think that would be pretty cool. That's my prediction of what might happen with that technology. I might be wrong, but yeah.
Hey, I don't know.
I don't know.
Sadly, only time will tell.
Yeah.
Because I want the best technology
to win.
Yeah.
Whatever's the coolest, whatever's the highest capacity.
Hmm.
You know, that should be available for everyone all over the planet. That's what I want.
Exactly. But sadly, companies.
That's never ever true.
Sadly, companies don't see it your way.
Yeah, we get whatever Sony wants to give us, basically.
Or whatever price.
Yeah.
Unless somebody else makes a better invention.
And even then, it's got to be cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, it's all bloody thing.
It's tainted. Okay, well, I think we're coming up to the end of the show.
I tell you what, I've got one more thing.
Yeah.
And this is from the front cover of today's Times.
Yeah.
Which says, congestion charge to be rolled out nationwide.
Why?
Motherfuckers.
Wait a second. Yeah, sorry, before you go, will that not just completely, you know, go against the whole point of the congestion charge?
You know, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll also bollocks a lot of people's lives, cost a lot of money, but raise money for the government.
Yeah.
So, you know, every cloud.
Everybody wins.
Silver lining. Everyone wins if you're Tony flipping Blair. Now, it says here, congestion charging is to be extended to towns and cities across England, and the government plans for a fundamental change in the way drivers pay for using the roads. Local authorities in seven areas were awarded £7 million yesterday to develop a model charging scheme that will be rolled out over the entire road network in the next 10 to 15 years.
Ah.
The authorities will study new technology.
Ah, this is the RFID stuff we were talking about early on in season one, wasn't it?
Fucking too right.
Yeah.
That will target motorists who travel at the busiest times, charging them up to £1.34 per mile.
Fuck off.
They will also consider new taxes.
Ooh, new taxes.
Workplace parking spaces.
Ooh,
to
new
deter
taxes.
People from driving to work.
Okay. What so if you can't get to work unless you drive to work? And
oh, screw you.
Yeah.
No, nobody cares.
No.
We're
well,
the government.
I'm sorry, but then you can't work, you know?
Yes.
Stop
fucking working.
Yeah.
If you're not paying us our taxes, we don't care.
Yeah, and the people that are on the road right now, do you think they really want to be on the road? Because it's just so fucking congested.
Oh, it's a right laugh out there. It's like a day at the fair, isn't it?
I know. You know, prostitutes and naked women just drive past. And no, it's horrible, okay? But, you know, let's say 60% of people on the roads have to be on the roads, and they've got absolutely no other fucking choice. This is just going to cripple the economy. Because people just simply won't work, and like there'll be, I predict a riot, I predict strikes, I predict mass fucking uproar, hopefully.
There better be.
Yeah.
Now, it goes on. They will also consider new taxes on workplace parking spaces to deter people from driving to work.
Yeah.
Parking meter charges will increase sharply, and thousands of parking bays will be converted from long stay to short stay.
Right.
Alistair, darling.
Darling, Alistair.
The Transport Secretary made clear that the new charging schemes would be much more sophisticated than the £8 daily toll in central London.
Hmm.
He believes that Ken Livingstone's scheme is too crude because it is based on a flat rate that fails to take into account the amount of distance travelled or the amount of congestion at the time. Now, I'm going to pause here because this is where it gets good.
Yeah.
This is what I read the introduction for.
Yeah.
Mr. Darling wants towns and cities outside of London to test electronic tagging and satellite tracking systems that will allow charges to be related directly to the level of traffic on the roads. There it is, right there. Read between the lines. So, RFID in your license plates, satellite tracking.
Fucking aluminium
tinfoil
hat.
Pardon.
No.
They've got seven areas currently signed up to do this, which is, and if you live in these areas,
get the fuck out.
Yeah, get ready to get angry.
Yeah.
Greater Manchester, West Midlands, Tyne and Wear, Cambridgeshire, Durham, Shrewsbury, and a coalition of authorities around Bristol and Bath. Coalition forces.
My coalition forces are moving in and striking selected targets. Oh, man.
What
is talk about Big Brother moving in.
Now, they've given £7 million yesterday.
Okay, that's not a lot. That's fucking nothing.
However, the government has allocated up to £200 million per year from 2008 to help local authorities introduce charging systems, which will, of course, bring in more money.
Wow.
This
they
is
definitely
a
business are, they,
run by Nazis.
They definitely are not doing this to Why are they doing this? Wait a second. The simple solution is to upgrade the road system. Okay? Oh, fuck's sake.
You know why they're doing it. Keep track of people.
Yeah. Profit from it.
Get more money. You know?
Yeah.
I could not believe that when I saw it on the front page.
I can't believe I missed that.
I only saw it when I was coming home from work. I saw it and I about threw up in the street.
Yeah.
You know, outside the news agents.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, man.
On top of this DVLA bullshit, who will sell your details to anyone. They don't give a toss.
Yeah. And also profit from it.
Yep.
While knowing exactly where you are.
Can you imagine if it all gets tied in together?
Yeah.
The National ID Register, the DVLA,
your,
a license plate with your RFID tag on it being tracked by records, a satellite?
As well as all your medical records, being everything tracked. Pretty much
everything.
Control over you, you know? That's why on the front page of our website, for people that don't know what it is hackervoice.co.uk, and you'll find that on the front of the page it says the UK identity card. Without one, you're no one. Why? Because without one, literally, you are no one. You don't exist. You are invisible to them without one. That's your situation right now. And the best thing you could ever do for yourself is to keep it like that. Okay? From what you've just read there, it just shows precisely what they're trying to do is to try and keep tabs on everyone. Now, you might say, hey, fuck, I might be, you know, paranoid, but that doesn't mean that there are people out there to get me, you know? It's just plain, in plain black and white, what's happening.
It's there in the papers, it's on the internet, every single news site you can go to.
Yeah.
There are stories there about exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Read them and make up your own mind. I've made up mine and I'm pretty flipping upset.
Yeah, same here.
Make up yours. Also, before we go tonight, I don't really have time to read this, but check out www.openrightsgroup.org. Now, if you don't know who those are, that's basically the UK version of the Electronics Frontier Foundation.
Right.
Now, they got set up in September, which we reported, and they're looking out for our civil liberties, and they're keeping an eye on the government and all this crazy shit that they kind of do, trying to do. And they've finally set up their website,
cool,
which is, as I said, openrightsgroup.org.
Excellent. Do check it
out. Check it
out.
It concerns you,
it does.
Citizens.
Of this world.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if we're talking to the citizens of the world, if you're in the States, check out EFF.org, Electronic Frontier Foundation.
That's right.
Because those guys are looking out for you guys.
And on that note, we end, and I think the most descriptive thing you've said this episode is, this is a government run by Nazis.
it's true.
On that note, I think it's time to take from the episode that we did with Felix, and pretty much listen to that if you haven't heard it.
That's the 11th of November episode.
That's correct. And
season 2.
Acclimatize yourself to the things that need to be done. I think everybody's aware of what needs to be done. Take from history and go out there and fucking do it, you know?
Stand up for your rights.
Stand up for your rights, because if it's as easy as giving up your rights as it is to writing your, you know, signing on a piece of paper, do your rights originally really existed? Because if somebody is able to take your rights away, that means you never had the right in the first place, because that right has been owned by someone else.
Yeah.
So I think we need to, you know, do something about this and get power back to the people. I know that's a very cheesy thing to say, and it's completely lost its meaning, but that's the only thing we can really do. Yeah.
Power to the people!
Power to the people!
Freedom for tooting!
Yes.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. Wolfie Smith, he knew what was going on.
Yeah. Okay, well, on that extreme note...
Yeah.
We end on some cyber music. So, good night from me and Planet Lave.
Night. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, I hope to join you tomorrow for another episode of Hacker Voice Radio.